Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're listening to the Daughters of Zion show. God bless everyone out there listening. Today we'll be talking about the final war. That is in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, 40 and 45. So we're living in a time of the end. The end as living in a world as we know it. The fast fulfilling signs of the times declare that the coming of Christ is near and is at hand. The days in which we live, we see the Spirit of God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. We have plagues and judgments are already falling upon the despisers of the grace of God. The unsettled state of society, the alarms of war, forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final moments and the final movements will be rapid ones. The daily papers are full of indications of a terrible conflict in the near future. There are not many, even among educators and statesmen, who comprehend the causes that underline the present state of our society. Those who hold the reins of government are not able to solve the problem of moral corruption, poverty, and increasing crime. If men would give more heed to the teachings of God's word, they will find a solution of the problems that perplex us. The world is stirred with the spirit of war. The prophecy of the 11th chapter of Daniel has nearly reached its complete fulfillment. Soon, the scenes of trouble spoken in the prophecy is going to take place. Now, there are three things happening in chapter 11. One, the conflict between North and South, the alliance between the North and the South, and the conflict with the people of God. So in Daniel 11, 4 through 45, I got to say that there is nothing new under the sun. And we look at the Bible and we hear, see how it repeats the troubles of the world over and over and over again. So I'm going to read Daniel 11, 40 through 45. And it reads, "And at a time of the end shall the king of the north of the south push at him. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief children of the Amorites. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and of all the precious things of Egypt. And the Liberians and the Ethiopians shall be at his step. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." Okay, so let's talk about this conflict of the North and the South. A lot of people say that Bible prophecy is coincidence. When you look at Daniel's prophecy in chapter 11, it sounds a lot like the narrative of Exodus from Egypt. The king of the North and Daniel behaves in ways that are similar to what in Revelation is described as mystical Babylon. So Exodus and the king of the north, the phrase land of Egypt in Daniel 11 and 42 is used in Exodus 5 and 12. The hand of God was against Egypt, Exodus 3:20. Now the hand of the king is against Egypt. Daniel 11:42. During the Exodus, God went down to Egypt. Now the king goes down to Egypt in Exodus 3:10-12. And again, like Daniel 11:42. Edom, Moab, and the Amorites were nations that the Israelites were not to attack during Exodus. So Exodus 15:15. The king of the north would not conquer them, as they said in Daniel 11:41. Both the Lord and the king defeated Egypt, Exodus 14:29-31. While during the Exodus, the Israelites took gold and silver from the Egyptians, Exodus 12:35-36. The king does it now in Daniel 11:43. The Israelites left Egypt and went to the holy mountain to serve the Lord. Exodus 3:12. The king will leave Egypt and go to the holy mountain. Daniel 11:45. The Israelites went to Canaan in a war of extermination. The king of the north will go to the holy mountain to exterminate many. Today, the king of the north believes is attempting to take the place of God in human history. He follows the exact acts of God and the works of God's people, but in reality, he fights against them. At the end, no one comes to help him, and he is defeated by God. Okay? So who is this king of the north? We look at what's going on in the world today. And if I were to think of a king of the North, it would be Donald Trump or the United States. The election is already planned for Donald Trump to become president, according to prophecy. Nothing happens in history without a plan. Donald Trump spoke at the United Nations and basically declared war on all nations. That was against God. The speech was delivered in his United Nations speech in 2019, which in turn was considered a great speech for the people of the United States because he spoke against the New World Order and Agenda 21. United Nations plan for the New World Order is one government, one God, and one economic system. That is the plan of the United Nations as a whole. If you notice, Donald Trump is always speaking of the right of people to worship God and to assemble in church. His whole agenda is to gain the trust of Christians. The ideologies of the King of the North. The King of the North has a religio-politic ideology. That means that they believe in the separation of church and state. That does not mean that the church is separate from the government affairs. So now we look at the King of the South. Now, who is this King of the South? The United Nations is a universal power, okay? So the symbolism of the King of the South, geographically, the language of Daniel designates universal spiritual powers at work through human agencies, the United Nations. Daniel refers to the king of the south as Egypt, a predominantly negative biblical symbol. It is a land whose king has no respect for God and openly challenges him in Exodus 5:2. It stands for human pride, while the king of the north is interested in occupying the place of God and taking over his role. The king of the south simply does not care. It could easily represent people who the Bible God is to them is unimportant. Today, this symbolism could apply to non-Christian societies and to places where secularism and atheism prevails. The king of the north will overcome them when the wound inflicted on the beast from the sea is healed, Revelation 13:3. But what appears to be good will turn out to be what it really is, an attempt to usurp God's power on earth. Now, the idea of the king of the king of the South, the United Nations have a circular ideology. Their thing is, who is this God that we must obey? It is a system of political or social philosophy that rejects all forms of religions, faith, and worship. The United Nations agenda is to set government over religion by prioritizing government over God. Most countries in the United Nations are Luciferians. Luciferianism is not a defined religion, but rather a belief system that admires and venerates the characteristics and personality traits exhibited by Lucifer, as represented in most literature, especially in the Hebrew Bibles. They do not worship Satan, but they carry a belief of his ideas. Okay? So there is going to be an alliance, even after this big war. There's going to be an alliance of the North and the South. In Daniel 11 and 27, it reads, "The two kings, with their hearts bent on evil, will sit at the same table and lie to each other, but to no avail, because at the end, will come at an appointed time." So no matter what they say, that end is coming at an appointed time. When they fall, they will receive a little help, and many who are not sincere will join them. Some of the wise will stumble. Some may be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time of the end, for it shall come at an appointed time. Remember that appointed time that's always been talked about. So we notice here that both speak lies and mischief, but will sit at the same table. Even though they want to kill each other, they will conspire together, because their end game is, they have one end game. Both of the kings of the North and the South are enemies of God. So both must be under the control of the arch deceiver, employing a method to induce a collective mindset conducive to the devil's schemes, with the end result to destroy God's people. Okay? So now we look at the third thing, which is the conflict of God's people and the king who shall exalt himself. Okay? I'm going to read Daniel 11 and 36 to 43. "The king of the North will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. But for what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the gods of his ancestor or for one desired by women, nor will he regard any god. He will exalt himself above them all." But the king of the North will have one problem, and that problem is tidings coming out of the east shall trouble him. Tidings, my people, is good news. Jesus will come again from which direction? The east. And he will destroy the king of the North, because he is the true king of God and this earth. Now listen to this, and it's very important that we get this today. Satan is a diligent Bible scholar. He knows his time is short and seeks at every point to counteract the word of God. His mission is to deceive and, if possible, the very elect of God. People, okay? But God's people will find their power in the signs spoken of in Exodus 31, 12, and 18. They are to take their stand on the living word of God. It is written, this is the only foundation upon which they can stand securely. Those who break their covenant with God in that day will be without God and without hope. Now, these are the questions people, that we've got to ask ourselves today, where are we now? What is our position? When do we get involved, and when do we stand back? We're headed for a final conflict, and one that the world has never seen before. The events are all around us, and will continue up until the end of a world as we know it. We must make sure we have the right filters in place, and those filters are the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy, which has to be in harmony with the Word of God. And we must apply those filters so that we will know that we are working with a prophetic scenario and not some type of speculation. Also importantly to know is, what is our position and when do we get involved? To answer that question, I had to think really hard about that, because sometimes we assert ourselves into things and to places that we shouldn't be, and we think that we're doing what God wants us to do. But if you have those filters, if you have that filter, which is the Word of God, you will understand where you need to be, what are you supposed to be doing, and when are we supposed to step back. Okay, so I thought about that. To answer that question, I had to understand the parable of the sower. What does a sower do? Does he plant seeds and pluck them up? Or does he plant seeds and patiently wait for the seed to grow? So we can do the planting of the seed, but we can't make it grow. We can do the planting of the seed, but we can't make the seed grow. And that seed is the Word of God. If we diligently do like Satan and diligently do the work of God, stay in the will of God, read the Word of God, understand the Word of God with all our heart, we will understand that our job is to plant the seed. That means preach it to your family members, your friends, the people on the street, anybody you come in contact with. Your job is to plant the seed, not make it grow, but to plant the seed. Okay, so we do the planting of the seed. We sit back patiently, and we watch that seed grow. The growing of the seed takes a special power that we don't have, and it's not ours. When I grew up as a child, I grew up on a farm. And my mother, every summer, we had to plant a garden. And when we planted that garden, we could only put the seeds in the ground. That's all we could do. We could put the seed in, but it's a special way, though. You got to put the seed in. Even with putting the seed in the ground, there is a special way you have to do it. You got to know how deep to dig the hole. You got to know how many seeds to put in the hole. And you have to cover that hole with dirt. Okay? So that was the process of planting the seed. We got to know how deep to go. When you're talking to people, you got to know exactly how deep to get into that word, because if you say too much, you may lose them. Okay? And once you plant that seed, you got to be able to go back and you know, water that seed, whether it's out of the ground or not. We had to keep the ground moist. Because if the ground gets hard, it's going to be hard for the seed to break through. So that's why gardens are watered. Even though there is nothing out there, the seeds are in the ground, but there is no plants above ground yet. So you have to keep the ground soft. That don't mean, you know, sometimes you meet people and, you know, you may just meet them for that one day.
And you say, well, how can we go back and water that seed we planted? You can't. Some people you just meet for a day, and you spread the and you're spreading the word of God. Okay? So now, getting back to growing the seed. Once that seed breaks through the ground, it's a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, I watched so many gardens grow. And even though I hated planting gardens, when that garden flourished, it was the most beautiful thing you wanted to see. And when the food came out of that garden, the best tasting food you could put on your plate. But again, our job is to plant the seed. It takes a special power, which is God's power, to grow that seed. And that seed, again, people, is the word of God. And now we look at our weapon. During this war, we have a weapon. Our weapon is truth. We have to know the truth. We have to know and believe in the truth. We can know, a lot of people know, but do they believe? No, not everybody believes. So our job is to plant the seed, watch it grow, and understand the weapon of truth. That's a very important weapon that we have in this war, and that's the weapon of truth, because it's going to come a time when truth is going to prevail. And if you are caught without the word of truth, if you're caught, let me tell you, those, again, who have broken their covenant with God in that day will be without God and without hope. Okay? Let me say that again, because the covenant is so important to God's people. You have to understand the covenant that we made as the children of Israel made with God in that day. If you are caught with your covenant being broken, first of all, those who have broken their covenant with God in that day will be without God and without hope. Okay? So we got to look at this war between the North and the South for what it really is. We got to understand that the war is coming. It's coming quickly. And it all has to do with what's going on in the world today, even with these elections. You got to understand, a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. As a matter of fact, a lot of people hate Donald Trump. But here's the thing with that. I'm reading Bible prophecy. And Bible prophecy in Daniel 11 says that the king of the north will overcome the king of the south. We don't want to be under the king of the south, but the simple reason is this. The king of the south, because it's the United Nations, they have an agenda. And their agenda, again, people, is a one world government, a one world God, a one world money system, economic system. So you got to think, do you want to be under this new world order? Do you want to be under one government? We don't know which one that could be. That could be China. That could be Russia. That could be Germany, Japan. Who knows? But when I look at those countries, I'd be like, no, I don't want that kind of government. And then you look at the United Nations and their belief in a circular religion. And that circular religion is mostly Luciferian. So do you want to be under a Luciferian God? And the money system, the world economic system, the world, their idea of the money system is the government disperses, controls everything. You can't even own your own business without the government telling you what to do, when to do it, how much money you make. Their whole idea is based on government rule. That means they rule you, they rule your God, they rule everything about you. That's a one world system. And that is what the king of the South. Now, you say, well, the United Nations is not in our election. Sure they are. Because Joe Biden is part of the New World Order. He is under the king of the South. So if he wins the election, we are going to be under a New World Order. And a lot of people may not want to hear that, but it's the truth. It's a fact. Okay? The North and the South war is being played out in every country. Every country has a North and a South war. So now I'm saying, so Donald Trump is prophesized to win the election, which is a good thing for us now. But after he wins the election, we got to still understand both the kings of the North and the South are enemies of God. So he's going to win, and we're going to be like, yay, we don't have to be in this new world order. But the end result is still going to be the destruction of God's people. That's the end result for the United Nations if they come in power, or Donald Trump if he come in power. The thing about it is, if Donald Trump wins, we'll be safe under the king of the North for a while. However, when that happens, the end result is, like I said, the king of the North and the king of the South are enemies of God. So both must be under the control of the arch deceiver, employing that method to induce a collective mindset. And the end result will be to destroy God's people. Simple as that. So we got to look at this election, you know, as for what it is. You know, both, like I said, both Donald Trump and Biden are part of the same end result. Our job is to know truth. Our job is to go back, make up our covenant with God, and spread the word to as many people as you can so that they will understand that this World War III that's getting ready to happen is going to affect us all. God's children is going to affect us. It's going to affect us the most because we are the children of God, which is what the devil's plan has always been since the beginning of time, was to destroy God's plan for his people. I thank you all for listening. I'll be back next week, and we're going to pick this up again, and we're going to talk about the Great Reset. God bless you all. I enjoyed my time with you. And I'll see you again next week. Peace and blessings.